Okay, well, welcome everyone to the September board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And at this time, I'd like everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll offer the prayer. I've not done it before here, so it's probably time. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to take this time and opportunity to thank you for the opportunity to serve as chairman. There are going to be awful big shoes to fill that Alan has left emptied. We wish Alan the best for a speedy recovery. And I thank all the board members that are present and continue to support the Pine Strawberry Water Improvement District. Continue to pray for rain. We know we need it, and hopefully we have a very snowy winter to get some of the runoff and melt from that. So again, thank you for everything. Appreciate all of our health and well-being, and look for a very productive meeting today. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'd like to do a roll call this time of the board members. And we'll start down here with Roger.
Roger Childers, present.
Ray Headings, present.
Larry Bagshaw, present.
George?
George, are you present?
Oh, sorry, I thought there was someone else. I was going to wait till the end. George Krakowski, present.
Okay, very good. We do have a quorum. So we will proceed. I'd like to call for a motion to approve the meetings of the following meetings that we had on September 2nd. Both the regular meeting and the study session was held. Do I have a motion?
A motion.
Motion to, motion to accept the note in the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Second?
I'll second.
Roger, okay. So
you're talking about the study session and the regular
meeting? Yes, the study session and the regular meeting.
Okay.
Do we need to do any discussion, or at this point we just take a roll call?
And the senators and
what's and the, oh yes, carries. Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone in favor?
Say aye.
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 Those who are not in favor, say nay. Okay, motion passed. Okay, at this time, we would like to swear in a new board member. We have Mr. Corey Ellsworth present here, and we have Morgan, our accountant and notary. So at this time, Corey, if you'd stand and please read the oath there on the document.
It's kind of small, sorry, it's right here.
I think I can get it.
Okay.
Thank you. I, Corey Ellsworth, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the State of Arizona, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and defend them against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of office of Pine Strawberry Water Improvement District Board according to the best of my ability, so help me God, or so I do affirm.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Carter.
Well, thank you, Carter.
Thank you.
And welcome to the board, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much.
And you can take this place at the table.
And we will offer you a seat at the table.
Closest
we will get your name tag for next meeting.
Closest to the M&Ms, I see.
Yes, certainly. The most important part. Okay, at this time we'll move on to reports to the board. So the WIFA and EUSI, Program Manager's Report and General Manager's Report.
Mr. Chairman and Board, Mr. Dickinson and I are going to kind of co-present the information, as you know, and the board member. We handle the program and project activities with WIFA. We're closely with the board and staff on operational contracts and activities. So basically just working through the WIFA projects. Staff has worked very effectively with our project team to make access to the Pine Creek 2 project, and the designs are coming along. We expect those to be delivered shortly, and then I'll work with David and with Sharon to get the contracts out to, and the designs out to the three companies that are under contract. I don't know if you had anything to say on
that. Nope, no more to add.
On the Cool Pines BMC, we expect Apache Underground to mobilize in mid-October. What we're talking about this morning was the fact that they purchased long lead items and have a lot of that stuff in storage. Between David and myself, we chatted with him, and we're ready for that. A lot of potholing has been done by the staff. What area did you guys do that?
Water tank, that'd be the south end tie-in for that job, and the north end tie-in, Pine Cone Road, there's a 6-inch up there that we located, and we're good to go on those.
So what we hope is that we avoid any surprises when the contractor shows up, that when they dig a hole, they'll be in the right place and know how to connect to things. In the USDA capital projects, Whispering Pines and the activities with EPS there, they're now coordinating specifications and details with Sunrise, who's doing Woodland Heights, Pine Mountain, White Oak, as well as modeling and GIS. What David and I talked about was hopefully having the Cool Pines contractor, Apache Underground, be on site doing that work when we go out to bid for the Pine Creek 2 project, so that they don't have to charge another mobilization. We still don't know if they'll have the best price or best approach from the other contractors. But what we're also hoping is that Sharon and David can get the financing lined up so that we have construction dollars through our interim financing. Right now, as you know, we have interim WIFA loan to help pay for the engineering services. But looking at trying to be sure that the modeling work and the GIS work gives us accurate information, and also when they do these designs and they tie things in, David has been working with his staff, kind of looking at pressures and things like that. What kinds of things have you been doing in that area?
Basically, just confirming what's out in the field. We'll go through a set of plans and check the engineer's work and get back to them on that. That's the back and forth process as the project gets developed. And early on, we're trying to get out there and do like we did with the Cool Pines BNC job, is locate the ends where we're going to make connections, pothole everything, make sure that we've got all our ducks in a row to make that connection without any hiccups.
They've also been out doing validation of pressures in the area.
Yep.
And then using the, what do you call the elf?
The bad elf.
Bad elf, I don't know what that is. It's a pogo stick, I call it, and it's got an instrument machine on it. So you basically can stick it here, it checks the satellite and tells you exactly the survey location. And you guys have been using that pretty effectively for operations.
Originally, yes. It works good on its own. We've been trying to integrate it in with the GIS system. Where we can have actually look at a map, and it gives us a point on a map. That just got up and running yesterday.
Great.
We had a bunch of hiccups on it, and
it worked good all day yesterday, so knock on wood, that'll keep going and we can make some progress on that.
So what I understand that to mean is that if we go out and use that to locate a valve, a meter, a location of some infrastructure, that then goes directly into the GIS system that's being updated, so that when we have a map and it says the valve or the meter box is at this location, they can check the latitude and longitude, the GPS reference, and go to their GIS map and be able to find things. In the past, it's been kind of like, I think it's on the corner of, or I'm next to that oak tree, or that guy's old pickup truck, it's right by the back end of that. So now we'll have an engineering reference for that.
In case it gets moved, the pickup truck gets moved.
Yeah, those darn guys, the tree goes down, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, that's made it really good for us in the district.
And Paul herself, he's joined our meeting.
Yes. Yeah, so that goes on the stick and then it beams up and beams back down, and now David's indicated it integrated right into the mapping system. So what do you know? We're getting pretty modern here.
That's great.
We've had some conversation in the last board meeting, couple of board meetings. You've authorized us to move forward with the deep well, what we call the deep well. We don't know how deep it'll be, but we know it's going to cost a couple million dollars. And we hope that it will wind up being a very substantial supply up in Strawberry area. Today we were on the phone with Geologic, their hydrogeologist. David was identifying the specific infrastructure that's at the site, and they've talked to us about the fact that I believe they said they needed 50 gallons a minute?
50 gallons a minute.
They need 50 gallons a minute of construction water while they're drilling the well. Because as you know, they use water to, they cut up the stone and the ground, and then that gets flushed out of the deal. And so we're starting to really look at our production capacity during the winter to be able to deliver 50 gallons a minute of construction water. Because, you know, our large well right now is like pumping 48 gallons a minute, I believe, something like that. And so it's a big deal for us. And then when we get into the general pipeline replacement, they need construction water. You know, they fill up a tanker and then come and keep dust control and things like that. So we have to look at the reality of where we can get water and how we can really sequence the operations stuff. So we're working closely together with operations.
Question?
Yes?
Do you, has there been like a percentage given of the chances of hitting water with the deep well?
We know that we will hit water. What we don't know is how much water there will be and how deep it will be. We're drilling it next to Strawberry Ranch 5, where we have a well right now, and that is 400 feet and
correct
11 gallons a minute.
Yep,
it's a small everything, and so it's always. I mean, I can't give you a percentage, and what they do is they do an initial borehole, so they take a small diameter, relatively small diameter, and they start drilling down. And they get some initial idea. Now we're going to be drilling with what they call a dual rotary, which would be an outer casing that has a cutter on it that cuts one way, and then an inner casing with a regular well drilling bit, and those go down together. That way they can maintain the circulation, the cutting water and that sort of thing. If we did it the normal way with drilling mud, they were doing that up at Portals 4. Mm-hmm. They got almost the depth up there, and they came across a crack, a fissure in the lava or the ground down there. All of the drilling mud went into that hole, plus they emptied their existing wells that they had from '44, because it just opened up, because it's all a bunch of cracks. And we're trying to find a crack that has water in it. And so as they drill down, they start seeing what the cutting is. They say, hey, we've got a pretty good flow here. Maybe that's as deep as we go. We have enough money to go 2,000 feet deep in our estimate.
But conceivably, we could go less and not have to spend all that money.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. So, and a number of people have talked to us and said, hey, you know, rather than spending $2 million on one giant hole, maybe we spend a few a few hundred thousand dollars and do six 20, 30, 40 gallon a minute wells here and there and everything. So in the original preliminary engineering report that qualified us for the grants in the loan, there was quite a bit of thought put into the process of what should we go after. And based upon the work that had been done at Close Four, and based upon the work that had been done at the borehole out in the farther west in Strawberry a number of years ago, it was felt that a deep well down to the what they call the Red Wall Formation would provide old water, not subject to the changes of, you know, a few year cycle. A lot of our wells are really shallow wells, and so we see a lot of variation in the water level. So as much as 60 feet in a year, even on a little well. So,
you know, if the, I'm just curious, you know, that fissure where the water comes out for Fossil Creek, is that kind of tied into this?
We hope not.
Oh, really?
So we will likely be under some kind of adjudication if it is determined that we are taking Fossil Creek water flow. And because of the potential for concerns from the environmentalists and Salt River Project, we've actually asked Salt River Project team to be advisors to us on this deep well, and they've agreed to that. And so they're with us step by step, and they believe that where we're exploring, even if we went as far west as the where the borehole is, which is farther west than zone 5, I mean, it's at the other end of zone 5. We're kind of at the east end of zone 5. They don't believe it's going to be really intercepting that water. We want water like that, for sure. And there are other springs, you know, in the area, historically. So I'd like to give you a better answer and a percentage. And so all we can do at this point is have the best minds. SRP has, is it Mike Clue, I believe? That has done a lot of hydrologic work up here, worked for Payson a number of years, was independent, actually helped with the Portals 4 well, and some of the other wells in the area. And so he's advising as well. He works for SRB, so instead of paying him $200 an hour, we get him for free.
Yeah. So. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, you want to talk a little bit about the next phase projects, David? The portals 1, 2, and 3, SCAD, and the water tank.
Portals 1, 2, and 3, most of us already know that the water lines up there are in the same trench as electrical and gas. And that presents a pretty big challenge when you have to do a repair. So those are kind of high on the priority list of getting stuff done. We'd like to get our water lines in their own trench and put in water lines that are meant to be water lines. There's a lot of situations up there where they're not up to code. So that's a pretty big high priority right now. The SCADA, we've started to look at. We're inventorying all of our sites to see what we need. And we're going to design a Cadillac, but we'll probably come out with something a little bit less than that. But the intention is to, you know, have that Cadillac design for down the road in the future. You know, we got to accommodate what we would eventually have. So, what else did we have?
The water tank?
The water tank. Which one?
The one at Milk Ranch?
Milk Ranch, yep. We're looking to put a water tank in at Milk Ranch. We're plotting it out right now. We've got some dimensions on some tanks. And we're going to move forward on that hopefully pretty soon.
As you know, we've had some substantial leaks in Portals 3, and we're able to find some. And we were starting on a very aggressive program to seek out leaks. And when the board decided to move forward with the Portals 1, 2, and 3 in this next phase, we said, well, since we're going to replace all the mains, is it really good money to spend a lot of effort engineering, a lot of searching, trying to find the leaks in that, or the fact that we're going to have all new pipes and connected to all new service lines, we won't have any leaks on our side other than what's authorized in a brand new pipe in Portals 1, 2, and 3. And so from a leaking standpoint, what we talked about is that we will continue looking for leaks in the system, but we'll focus in areas where we're not going to replace all the pipes with brand new pipes. And so you won't see, unless we get some direction otherwise, you won't see a lot of district resources spent on trying to locate specific seepage leaks in Portals 1, 2, and 3 right now. We'll focus on getting the design done and getting those new pipes in. If we're very fortunate, we'll have the design done in 3 months. We were trading contract language with Baker. Last week, we were able to have them reduce their fee by another $40,000 and still give us a full project. We defined the limits a little better. And so they're a first class, very large firm, and they're anxious to get started. So as soon as we can get the final contracts through legal and through USDA, we'll be able to give them a notice to proceed. And they're two and a half months in design, and then we'll go out to bid.
Question, I don't see Riley's not on the call, is he? Those lines were put in by the construction company that did the portals?
The developer.
Is there any way we could reclaim any cash from them for faulty work or construction?
I can't answer that. I have not seen that as a past practice for the district. That certainly could be a question you could pursue with the, I don't know what the development agreements were, what the ownership documents were when you bought this from a private company. So a developer built it, private company had it, you guys wound up buying the thing from the private company. So a legal question.
Maybe something to explore.
Yeah.
So, maybe we,
I don't know if you want to put it as an action.
The industry standard is typically a year of the contractor warranties it for. But in this situation, it's been a lot longer. But still, they did not put a good product on the ground.
So good faulty product.
They're probably not even around anymore.
But yes, that's a route that we're looking at with Riley. So if we can go that direction and recoup anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Some entities do improvement districts so that people that get a benefit in a specific area pay the burden of the funding. The district in the past has utilized the entire district's capabilities and taxing and great authority to make improvements like this. In looking at water conservation means and methods, the district had like four-phase conservation suggestions. We've been looking at those collectively. We also got information from Payson about that. I think that's something that will work more with the Water Enhancement Committee to really get into the details of what are options that the district want to have as far as a policy for conservation, and then criteria or template under which the board would consider continuation, or under what conditions you'd relieve the current moratorium. So we'll be working on that information, and I know David's, you might want to mention the concept that you're putting together for background.
Yeah, water conservation, we have a mandatory thing that we have to do for ADWR. It's due at the end of this year, and I'm going to rewrite the whole conservation levels, tiers and levels. Paul's provided us with a bunch of other cities that we can compare and come up with our own method to the madness of water restrictions, not restrictions, but conservation. That I would expect I'll have that done sometime in December, if not sooner.
So that report would indicate kind of what, how much you could open up based on the availability of the water sources and so forth?
It's more of a conservation. What are we doing for conservation? ADWR, they've really got their nose in that, and they want to see us doing something for the size of the system we are. So we have to document what we do. The larger systems like you know, SRP, you'll see the commercials on the television about water conservations, and at least I wonder, why are they wasting money with this? You know, why not put the money into conservation? You know, the public notice that commercials aren't cheap. Well, it's an ADWR requirement that that's part of the conservation program, is the public notice that, you know, let everybody know to conserve water. That's one of the probably 150 different methods that they have. So integrate that and into ours, and I should have it done by December sometime. The other half of your question, the moratorium, I'll cover that shortly when I got there.
Okay. And then just at the bottom there, our normal activities each month here, reviewing paperwork and documentation, keeping up with the documents that Sharon puts together and sends off to the agencies, the loan and those agencies. Any questions? I'd be glad to answer those.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And David?
My turn. All right, what I got here, I have 10 items. Number one is water loss. Our August lost and unaccounted for was at 25%, a little bit lower than our normal average. We do have some lakes out there we'd like to get to, but we're running into a problem with parts now. There's a significant leak on Whispering Pines, and we think we have just barely enough parts to fix it, but we're trying to get backup parts, because if we come into that one and we get a worse leak on the same size of pipe, we're not going to have anything. So hopefully we can get to that pretty quick. Some of these parts are out 8 weeks, and so we've been doubling up our orders, trying to get ahead of this. What else do you have here? We are in the early stages of dividing the system up into smaller chunks for precise leak detection. A good example would be this Woodland Heights project. As it turns out, it's got one piece of it that feeds maybe 50 homes. I forget the name of that little area down there.
Terra Pines.
That's a perfect opportunity. It's only got one feed. It's got a backup feed on the backside, but in case of an emergency, but it's off because it's a higher pressure. But that one feed, what we're going to do is set up a meter on that. And we just recently found out we can reprogram our in-truck meter reader laptop to where we can pull all those reads in within a few minutes for that subdivision only, and compare them to that, the master read coming in. And then like the very next day, we come back and do that again. And we can see exactly what our loss is within 50, 60 homes. And if it's significant, we can cut that in half. That's the plan, is just to cut it into little bite-sized chunks, put an inlet meter to it, and run it for a day or two like that and see what we got. So,
cool.
The number two, the gals in the office have done a great job. They've literally pulling in all the wells and fine and strawberry. This comes to the moratorium question. I can tell you since 1987, the upper aquifer, that's everything 500 feet and less, has dropped 52 feet. And then I broke it down in here. 87 to 97 was 25. 97 to 2007, it held steady. I think it dropped about a foot, but I just wrote held steady. 2007 to 2017, 13 feet. And in the last 4 years, it's dropped 14 feet. So that's the upper aquifer trending. It's not really recovering, going all the way back to 1987. Now, what the gals just sent me, literally earlier today, was the report on available deep wells. And I can tell you that they are a lot more stable. I've got one here in front of me from 2000 to 2007. It only dropped 6 feet, but it's not affected seasonally. If you look at the graphs on the seasonal ones, on the upper aquifer, they're crazy. They go up and down, up and down, and you can go back and look at weather reports, and that's going to be like a month behind the rain, then the wells go up. These deeper wells, they're a lot more steady. There's one up in a neighboring water system here. For the last 20 years of data that they have, it hasn't budged up or down. So that's why we're going deep for water. The plant up in Strawberry is, as we're going down, we'll seal off the top so we don't drain out all the shallow wells in Strawberry and just take the water from down deep. We're still we're breaking the data we have into smaller chunks. And I need to give the girls my data, the recent data that we picked up in the last couple months and plug it in. We haven't done that yet. But that's the plan. Just keep gathering more data so we have more information to make an educated decision on.
So that you're referring to the moratorium?
Yeah.
So that we only limit how many new connections we allow based on all that data.
Right.
Okay.
Right now, with the water we got pumping in and what we're sending out, we're breaking about even. So, if everybody moved up here from the valley and occupied their homes, we would be in a world of hurt right now.
Like what happened last summer?
What happened last summer? The numbers from last July, we were running at 95% capacity. That's just a few days from having to start turning people off and saying, we don't have water. So that was kind of scary, but it opened our eyes to a lot of things. What else we got here? I'm talking with two folks right now on water share agreements. I don't have the template done yet, but that's coming up. It'll make it a lot easier. We have 9 wells that are inactive right now. We're researching those, trying to figure out, some of them, there's really no information why they were shut off. We hear rumors that they ran dry. Some of them, we just need to get out there and find out what's going on. So we're in the process of investigating those 9. If we can put them on back online, we certainly will. The GIS, we covered it just a few minutes ago. That bad elf was actually had some connection problems. We were able to get a patch for it, and that's working now. And then Sunrise Engineering gave us a different downloadable map, so we don't have to depend on cell coverage. And that just got working yesterday, and so far, so good. The Cool Pines projects, we covered that. We're looking at starting next month. However, we're waiting on WLB Group to give us a final set of plans. We pretty much did all the work for them. They just need to finish the job and get us an approval to construct. Woodland Heights, we covered that.
field crew and myself, we're out there snooping around, finding out what we need to do. We found a few surprises on the connections that we're going to have to work around, but that's why we get out there and pothole ahead of time. There's been a lot of questions about the public notices that went out for the RADs. There was, in 2020, we missed the quarter that we were supposed to, or no, excuse me, we had hit for RADs. We retested and there was nothing there, but we were supposed to do quarterly testing and one of them got missed. We eventually got that taken care of, and no sooner did that get taken care of than ADQ sent out a schedule to their contractor to sample for RADs, and they did not get RADs on their schedule to the contractor. So now we have to do a public notice for their mistake and take four more quarters of samples for their mistake. They'll probably be getting a bill for all the samples that were taken when we're all done with this. But the water's been fine ever since. All the samples that have been taken have been well below the contamination level, so it's good to drink. I drank it myself. Crew certification training. We started that up last month and hope to have the two guys working on it certified by spring. I got to stay on top of them and make sure they get in here at least twice a week to study. And the very last thing
that we're... Is that Ben?
Certification's going to be, well, I don't know if I can mention their names. We're just two crew members. It's not the lead right now. Ben's got a certification two, I believe. I'm not sure what is it. Is that what it is?
He's a two.
Yeah. And then we have another guy with the same grade on the crew. We're just trying to get more of them certified.
I see.
And we're also working on a new internal accountability to just make sure we're all doing what we need to do in a timely manner. And, that's about all I have. If anybody's got any questions.
The new kid on the block, can I ask just a couple of basic questions?
Yes, sir.
How many wells do we have?
How many wells? Active?
Yes, sir.
Inactive. Active, we're running about 22 right now.
22.
Yeah.
And how many employees do you?
We have, what have we got, 8, 9 field guys? 13 with me, I think, is everybody.
8 out there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure I have a million more questions, but I want to mostly listen here, so just a little bit at a time.
In a system like this, it requires more people, mainly because we're always fixing leaks. And the way we, our chlorinators, you know, almost every single site has a chlorinator. And they break down all the time. And that's a full-time job just for one guy. Actually, with the amount of chlorinators we got, if they can put two guys on it to work full-time, nothing with chlorinators. So that leaves 6 more guys to fix leaks. And a lot of times you have one guy off because we've got a cold or something. So we start getting slim real fast.
Thank you.
Dave? The part situation, is it due to shipping or just not available, or what's going on?
You know, they're saying it's COVID. A lot of folks in manufacturing where the plants just slowed down.
Yeah.
I can tell you from experience, I used to work for Quake Creek, they saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was crazy. I heard the repair guy, supervisor, he's out there on the phone every single day calling around ordering pipe. They had storage areas where they can store pipe. And I'm like, why are you doing this? And he said, there's going to be a shortage. And it wasn't, you know, 6 months later, I come here and, yeah, we can't get parts. So the big cities are buying them all up, the parts that are available, and manufacturing is still behind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's... In a pinch, you can get what you want, but you're going to pay double for it. And I'm trying to walk that fine line, not pay double with it. That's why we're ordering things. We're doubling up on our orders right now, so in a few months we should have plenty of time.
Anything else for David? All right, well, thank you. Sure. Well, yes. Finance manager's report.
Mine is short and sweet this time. I'm still working with the title company. USDA has requested a separate title policy for each of the four sections of the loans that we're getting. And so the title company, as of last week, was revising it to make it into four for us. The WIFA schedules and the treasurer's report have been modified since all but two of the projects have been completed. The next Teams meeting with Carl Pinnick will be tomorrow to update the information provided for the rate study. We will need to supply the final information to RCAC by November 1st and schedule public outreach for December 1st. They will conduct a public information session January 13th and will provide the rate study incorporating public input January 27th. The plan is to implement a sustainable rate structure for PSWID March 1st, 2022. The first three disbursement requests have been submitted and funds received for payment of all engineering fees through August. Field work took place on September 7th and 8th for the audit. At this time, there are only two outstanding items to be included in the report. And one is the Gila County year-end information of property taxes due at year-end and is still outstanding. The other is an entry to revise the year-end inventory as well. The audit report is scheduled to be completed by November 1st. We're still working on training the accountant. We're getting more complex matters, including bank reconciliations and various board reports. The district purchased a workstation for my use in the boardroom to further assist with training and my ability to access the network. Anybody have any questions?
Great job, Sharon, on the audit.
Good job, Sharon.
Thank you.
So the workstation you said is in the boardroom?
Right here.
That's it? Okay.
This is the computer.
Oh, well.
That big.
Wow. Nice.
All right. No more questions for Sharon. We'll move on to the treasurer's report, George, which is a huge report here.
Thank you, Sharon. All the standard reports for the balance sheet, profit and loss, and all those were completed. And Sharon, eventually you got to show me how I would upload them to the website if I need to do that. But we'll go on that another time. Currently, we're showing positive revenue, which is a good thing. We're not going insolvent. Our current budget, I did a quick analysis, it's just two months worth of data points, but for what I'm looking at now, it looks like as far as overall budget, we should either hit it or probably at this point we're at a rate of spending under budget. But once again, it's just 2 months worth of data, so it's hard to tell at this point. But as we move forward and get 5 or 6 months worth of data, we'll be able to narrow that down. And right now it doesn't look like there's any action that needs to be taken around budget. I've been reviewing every expenditure as far as the credit and the cash and looking at them to validate them that they're accurate and that they're correct, they're an expense we should be paying. I found no issues with any of them either. So that's as far as I am as far as the treasurer in training. Any questions?
I was looking at this first page, the income and the P&L, sorry, not the balance sheet. Am I reading this right that our fiscal year ends July?
June 30th.
June 30th, so July, yes. August, all right, got it. So this is months year to date.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So revenue is something like half of that 433 per month.
Right.
All right, any other questions?
Nice to see us in black. That's good.
Yeah, and there's not one line item on the budget that's red either. So that's a good thing, too.
That's really good.
Thank you, George, and your time spent training with Sharon. And thank you, Sharon, for bringing George along.
Yeah, Sharon does a good job.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going on vacation for 6 weeks, George. You're in charge.
Well, you better do some additional training next week.
All right. Larry, do you have a secretary's report?
Nothing this one.
All right, very good. Thank you. I don't believe Raleigh's snow. Oh, yes, he is. Raleigh, you're up. Perfect timing.
Riley,
turn
the microphone on. Riley,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, did that work?
Yes.
Yes.
You're up.
For my tardiness, I was having some technical issues there. I think it's my wireless on my end, though. So. No, I did not have any to report in open session. So steady she goes. Unless anyone has any questions for me.
Now, that's always a good word from the attorney when he has nothing. So, thank you.
Well, nothing in open session anyway, but no, things have been, you guys have been remarkably calm for the last little while, so that's either really good or really bad, and we'll find out soon
enough. Riley, I had an earlier question, and that was because of the faulty work in the portals, and that we're having to redo that, is that something that we could pursue from a legal standpoint of getting recouped? I don't, you know, we'd have to check and see if the construction companies are even around, but.
Yeah, and this was, say that again, because you broke up earlier, the faulty work with what particular?
In the portals?
Portals 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think we're probably past that given the amount of time that's gone since that was done, if I'm recalling that correctly. But I'd be happy to rebuild the timeline with you offline, and then I'd give you better opinion on whether that's something we could pursue or not, because the timing is going to be the issue there.
They were built in 1971 for portals 1 and 1983 for portals 3, and 2 was in between there, like 1976. So it's quite a distance.
That's we're way past most anything there. And that was done through condemnation as well, I believe, right? And
yes.
So thank you. Yeah, I had to get back up together. You asked me about that a number of weeks ago. So with the condemnation, we don't really have any recourse to go after anyone else because we gave them fair market value, but it's not like you have any warranties attached to that. And then add that to the amount of time that's gone by, I think we're out of luck on those points.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you. Well, it was worth checking.
Anything else for Raleigh? Okay, well, thank you, Raleigh. Appreciate you joining us.
Well, thank you. Yeah, again, sorry for my tardiness there. I think you got to fix on my end. I need some kind of an update. It always seems to be an update, but.
We'll make an adjustment to next month's bill. All right, only kidding, Raleigh. All right, chairman's report. This will be my first chairman's report. Sharon called me yesterday and says, have you got a chairman's report? I said, what's that? Oh, brand new chairman. What do I know about reports? So I worked on one this morning, and here we go. So again, a welcome to our newly appointed member, Corey Ellsworth, who's sitting here at the table. He got sworn in this afternoon and is now an official board member. So we welcome you, Corey, and look forward to working with you.
Very much look forward to working with you and the rest of the board.
Well, thank you. We are exploring the possibility of appointing an alternate member to the board. At this point in time, based on our bylaws, we don't believe it's permitted, but something that we're going to look into to see if we could possibly get an alternate, so that if in the event we get pretty slim and not able to get a quorum, we could at least maybe possibly call someone and get them in. So we'll pursue that. And that's something I'll have some further discussions too with Raleigh if we need to follow up with him. I did attend a meeting on the 26th of August. I am the trustee of the Rural Arizona Group Health Trust. And that's our employee health insurance. And one of our admins is the alternative trustee. So this was the annual organizational meeting that was held via conference call. The entire group's overall cost, there's about probably 12 members in this group. We thought we were the smallest, but we aren't. So that's a good position, because sometimes you just don't want to be the smallest for fear that, you know, they're going to give you the boot. So, geez, you're too small. We're not getting much from you. And boy, you guys are spending a lot, but not the case. So I think we're in a pretty good position. You know, overall, drug costs were up for the entire group, and mainly driven by COVID-related expenses. Even their medical expenses were a little up over previous years and months based on the COVID. So I guess everything we're blaming on COVID, all the increases, no parts, no anything. So right now it's looking that there probably will not be a substantial increase in medical costs. We have signed through 7/1 of 2022. Our membership was renewed. So we have health insurance through this group through July 1st. We did also introduce, so I had this.
Yeah, maybe we can kick in some of the board salary if we need to.
Absolutely, sure. And our bonuses. I did have the admin group reintroduce the what they call the OMADA hypertension and type 2 diabetes program to all employees. RAIC has an excellent program, and it's free of charge. So just, you know, education, just some tools available to those who may be suffering from either hypertension or type 2 diabetes. They're also looking to do some wellness programs. Again, trying to get all of our members healthier so we don't have the expense. So that's what's going on with that group. Also attended a metrics advisory group that was led by George, really to discuss the development of metrics to kind of manage and track all of our activities and the performance of those activities. Because again, you know, if you don't know where you are, how do you know if you're getting any better? And I kind of make the analogy to a traffic light. So again, we're going to work on metrics that would kind of show that if something's in dire need of improvement, it would be in red. If it's getting near to getting out of goal or not on track, it would be yellow. And if it's good, it's in green. So just a quick visual to be able, so we'll be working on that. I believe we have a meeting scheduled next week to kind of look at developing the metrics as to what it is that we should be measuring. And again, we want it to help to improve our success. Because if we're doing something that doesn't add value, then we shouldn't be doing it. So that's really what we want to look at, our value-added activities that we're engaged in. So again, from a customer service standpoint, operations, finance, and then even engineering. As far as training, you know, Sharon touched on the admin training that's taking place, which is going along very smoothly. I do conduct safety training every other week with the field staff. And this past Friday, I covered what's called zero harm, where no one gets hurt. The philosophy has to be zero. Now, I'm sure you've heard companies will say, well, you know, we can have one severe accident or maybe one fatality. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania and a lot of bridges back there, and they would put a big banner. Our expectation is to have two fatalities on this project. Now, zero harm is zero fatalities is what we're striving for. You don't put a number out there, and sometimes people will help you accomplish that target. And in fact, there was one site where someone actually jumped off the bridge on the last day of construction to hit that number. So I guess it's a psychological thing that sometimes people kind of steer toward. So that's where we are in training. I'll continue doing that. I do that every other Friday at 7:30. So if anyone ever wants to attend, it's a good session, particularly this one. It was really, from a cultural standpoint, a good meeting. All right, well, that covers that. Tammy's not president, and I'm a member of the personnel advisory group. We have nothing to report, so I've had no meetings there. Okay, at this time, as we do in every meeting, consideration and discussion of any general unscheduled comments from the public. I don't see anyone from the public in attendance at the go-to meeting, nor do we have anyone here in the boardroom today to have any questions. So if there's nothing there, we will move on to item 9, old business, which we have none to discuss. New business, an item that I have placed on the agenda. The district, really, it's the moving the field office to this office site is what we're exploring. A few months ago, we talked about it. We leased this property, and we just signed a new 5-year lease, which increased from $1,200 to $1,300 a month. And by the way, it's the first increase that we've experienced in 7 years. So that's good. And maybe it's because of COVID. Who knows? The landlord has cleared the back portion of the property, and we've been in discussions to potentially rent this parcel from him for an additional $700 per month with a 3-year lease, so we would not have to do the 5-year. What this would allow us to do is to move the field office to the headquarters location here and sell the property on Pine Creek Road where our field office is. So we presently own that property. So probably down the road, we'll need to look at possibly getting an appraisal for that property. But the landlord is real anxious to do something with his property back here. In fact, if we can't make a decision going forward, he plans to fence off the 15 feet beyond the office and use it for trailer storage. So he sees that as just vacant land sitting, not making any money. So this is an item here that we're gonna probably need to move fairly quickly. I know Sharon had an opportunity to speak with him last week when we were in here for the planning meeting, and he's kind of anxious to get a decision from us on what we're going to do. And again, you know, we talk about that field office, you know, there's no bathroom facilities or shower facilities. You know, it's a port-a-john out on the property. And, you know, we've got, you know, water has come in. We've, you know, after those heavy rains, had water come down into the office area. So it's hasn't been a real good office for us, and we'd like to be able to come down here. You know, again, we were talking about exploring other opportunities, but there's just not much around. And then the price, of course, either to lease the property and ultimately to buy it. So I know we're also looking at possibly that to get into maybe a purchase of the property that we're sitting on here. We have contacted APS to provide an electrical service to the back and to install a meter pedestal with a 200 amp circuit for their service for the field office. So they will be coming to give us an estimate of the cost within the week, but it's not expected to be real expensive, as they would use the same pole that our current service comes in on. We're also checking to get an estimate for a fully contained construction trailer for the field crew. So I've contacted a couple mobile office companies. In fact, I worked for one down in the valley a few years ago, and I've contacted them, and there's a few other competitors. Problem is they're all down in Phoenix, so we'd have to have it trucked up here, which can happen. I've seen a few from my prior company around town, so they do make the trip. But that was always a way that we made some big money in transporting costs and fees. We do believe that there's a enough space for all the storage containers, because we do have a couple on the property up there, supplies and equipment. And the monthly cost estimate would be $800, including utilities. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So from a financial impact, yes. The office, self-contained office, typically runs between $300 and $400 a month. So let's see what we can do there. I'm gonna reach out to some of my coworkers who are still working there and some who left and went with competitors to see if I can get a deal. So again, the recommendation is for the board, you know, we open up some discussion regarding the rent of the remaining space for the field office, as well as selling the property on Pine Creek Road. So Discussion, questions, anything that we maybe haven't considered?
Again, the new guy, I asked a couple of really super basic questions. David's comments, and is this desirable, and you fit and agree with everything that we've just heard?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good thing from your perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
And what's the value, do we, roughly, of the property we would be able to sell?
Well, we don't have any idea. We'd have to get an appraisal.
And how large is that parcel?
It's, a little over an acre.
Yeah, it could be.
And it's, you know, it's right up Pine Creek Road. Do you know where the canyon tanks are that we just redid?
Yes.
Okay, it's right across, before you get to that road to go up, that property right there is the district's property.
God.
And I would think any property on Pine Creek Canyon Road right now would be worth a pretty penny.
Yeah.
The gas companies expressed interest. They have some storage there, and they're interested in the property. We do have one well on it that we would have to keep. Mm.
Sounds good all around to me, doesn't it?
Well, in addition, can we possibly look at just purchasing a construction trailer for out there instead of renting one?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Do you think we could just look for a used construction trailer to be put up?
We could, yeah. I got on site actually last night. I was looking in anywhere between $10,000
and $20,000.
Is that how much they are? For one, yeah. And you know, one of them, I think it would be nice to have maybe a private office in the building, and then certainly a bathroom with even a shower, because I know the employees get dirty with some of the jobs, and it'd be nice to have somewhere indoor instead of trying to hose themselves off out the yard.
Right. In February.
So you would move this around at various sites depending on what's being worked on?
Oh, no. It would be permanently here. Yeah.
Oh. I mean, they're movable, but we would set it back there with a set of stairs or a ramp that goes up into the entrance. So, no, they're totally movable, but we wouldn't move it. This would be their office, so we would no longer have that facility up there. The guys would report here every day.
The long-term goal is eventually purchase this office and that back.
Yeah, I've had conversations with the landlord. He's had them with other chairmen and other people that have worked here, and they haven't been successful at all. But he's planning on retiring. He's been living in California for years, and he's planning on retiring in a couple of years, moving to his house in Payson. And I asked him the other day, I said, well, if we go ahead and rent this property from you and are using the full site, is there a chance that you would sell it to us in a few years? And he said, that's very possible. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be very hard for the district to find a property as big as this is, as centrally located as this is for the business.
And close to the office. I mean, we walk out the back door, and there we are. We don't have to drive down here anymore.
Self-contained, that'd be great.
I think it would be a win-win, yeah.
And did I understand right, Ray, the 800 is the 700 plus the utilities.
Right.
Yes.
And then you threw in another note with the 300 to 400 for the construction.
Well, for the rental of the construction office. That's kind of what they average.
So something maybe like 1200 all in per month.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So yeah, it could very well be a good win-win for us, particularly if the property has value up there.
And our utility bill, our APS bill for that field office is quite expensive, I noticed. I don't know why it's so expensive. It's just a field office. It's a lot more than this building is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's old, just old, and the service is old, but it's substantially more than the electricity for this building.
And then from my standpoint, I think the budget can handle the extra money if we do lease the back property with what we're seeing right now on the profit and loss statement. So.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll save on they wouldn't have to do the dial-up internet anymore. They could have SunLink right here.
Yeah.
Because we already have that for the whole facility.
Hmm. So if the owner as a point where he would like to do it, would we do like a lease option?
Well, we're leasing now, mm-hmm. but if we sold the property on Pine Creek Road, depending on how much money that would get the district and could be put into a fund to save, to purchase this.
Do we own that property outright?
Yes.
Up
yes.
there? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And this total space, the size of this property?
It's an acre.
It's total an acre.
Mm-hmm. He also owns these storage units back here with his brother. And he talked about either putting more storage units in back there, but he would fence off. The lease that we have covers this. We have all this lost out in front. I don't know if that could ever be used for anything out there. That would be something to explore if and when we were able to buy it. And
maybe an amusement park. You know, probably
the
carousel, merry-go-round.
We could always use
more
parking.
I don't know how you fill in that ditch that's out there.
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, we could make it an elk petting
park. Well, they're already out there.
So yeah, just that's an edit. Put the kids in, pet them.
Yeah.
Is our field office, would it be amenable for a deep well if we were to decide to drill one there, or?
Potentially, yes.
We'd probably have a lot of static from the neighbors, but...
Well, after it goes in, it's hardly noticeable.
Right.
Yeah. A tank would be helpful. But we've got a tank right across the street, so we wouldn't need
right.
a tank area. Yeah, but that's potentially a good spot.
But the deep well money right now needs to be spent in Strawberry.
Right.
Yeah.
Just thinking ahead, if we need another deep well in Pine, that might be an option for us to explore.
Well, that'd probably be a good idea to find out from a realtor. Didn't you say you have a realtor friend, Ray?
I do, in Payson.
In Payson, that might take a look at that property.
Okay, sure.
Kind of come up with like an estimated value.
Yep.
Because if the board decided to move ahead with this, then we could start on that portion of it and find out what kind of money can be had from selling that property.
I'm quite unfamiliar with how zoning works up here. Do we know what it's zoned and whether that's flexible?
Well, it must be commercial.
And it would be?
Because we've got a business in there.
Yeah, the gas company's got part of it too.
Yeah.
That's got to be commercial.
I can't picture it. So it would need to be commercial, like residential would look odd right there, or?
Well, there's houses all around it.
Yeah,
across
houses
the street,
across.
Up and down. And
right next door.
Next to it.
I'm sure we're grandfathered in as a commercial property there. But.
Yeah, but it might very well be a zoned residential.
Right.
Yeah.
Be nice to have that option. I don't know which way it would be more valuable.
Right.
Or I guess there's always a possibility of offering this landlord here to trade for properties.
He's not interested. That was my first approach.
Sharon covered that one already.
Okay. Good.
I didn't know you had a home in Payson.
Oh.
So I thought, well, you might want to come back here and live up in the mountains. He grew up here as well. So that's why he's coming back to Arizona.
Do we need a motion to proceed on? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I so move that we proceed on rental land or construction, trailer purchase, whatever it takes.
Okay. Wait, do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roger. All in favor, say aye.
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 Not in favor,
aye.
Nay. All right, motion passes, so we will proceed. I think as Larry said, it'd be a win-win, of course. I think there's opportunity there.
It does look good.
Okay, that's it for new items. Number 11, identify potential agenda items for next scheduled board meeting. Anything for the October 28th? I did make a note here prior to rally hopping on, maybe looking at pursuing the portal issues, but I think we got our answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I will put that on the agenda then.
We may have, let's see, we won't know until, there's one more project that, on the USDA, Strawberry Branch 1 and 2. We haven't done anything on starting that, and that's the next priority project. Hopefully, in between now and then, we will have closed on the first two USDA loans, fingers crossed, knock on wood.
Sure.
And we'll have more to discuss on that. But I won't know for a while until it needs an agenda item.
Okay. Anything else? And again, Larry is always diligent getting the reminder out for agenda items, so would appreciate everybody getting those to him of anything that you may have.
We need to get Corey's email address to everybody.
And Larry, you've got that, right? Or I can put it on here.
Just, yeah, put it on there.
That'd be great.
And, I have your name written there in the red, so just
sure.
Fill that rest of it out. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
If there's nothing else.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Roger, yes. Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.